Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow citizens of heaven, I'm not sure if you have seen the TV show called Hoarders, but if you have, the show deals with those who are suffering from extreme cases of hoarding. They enter into the house and you can't see the floor. The furniture and the appliances are covered with items. And to travel around the house, you either have to climb over these piles of basically junk or to crawl through them. And when it comes time in the show to throw away these things, these people have a very hard time doing it. Even though the items can be spoiled or rotten, or the items may be broken and can't be fixed, or they're items that they haven't used or seen in years or decades, they can't let it go. They have a strong connection with these things and they hoard them. Today, as we look at Paul's letter to the Philippians, he tells us to put our spiritual priorities in the right place. That although we are in this world and there are many joys and pleasures of this world, we are not to live like the people of this world who hoard onto these things and refuse to let them go. But rather, we are to be spiritual hoarders, hoarding onto Christ and everything about Him, and living our lives like citizens of heaven. Paul said to Philippians, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." The city of Philippi was known as a miniature version of Rome. Whatever Rome did, they did. They dressed like the Romans. They taught like the Romans. Their customs were like the Romans. They did everything that Rome did. And therefore, Paul realized for these Christians living in Philippi, they had an abundance of examples to follow, but many of them would not be good, beneficial, or God-pleasing. And so Paul gives them a great example to follow, and it's himself. Now, at first glance, this may seem like Paul is bragging and boasting about himself to the Philippians. But we know Paul also said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." The Philippians were to follow Paul's example because Paul was striving to follow the example of Christ in his life. Paul was being a spiritual hoarder by hoarding onto Christ and everything about him. That was the pattern of life that Paul and others gave to the Philippians, and it's the same pattern of life that Paul gives to us. We too have an abundance of examples to follow, but not every example is good or beneficial or God-pleasing. And that's what Paul warns us about with these words. "As I have often told you before, and now again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things." The first thing that Paul warns us about is those who live their lives as enemies of the cross of Christ. Is it possible that we can follow this example and be enemies of the cross of Christ? I'm not saying that we do this openly and we are completely opposed to the cross of Christ, but we may do this in a more secret and subtle way. We may follow the example of those who look like they are Christian, but their lifestyle, their choices, and their teachings completely contradict God's word. And so by following their example, we can be enemies of the cross of Christ, because maybe we don't fully appreciate what Christ did on the cross. When we hear that God has forgiven us our sins and He will forgive us for any sin that we commit, our sinful ears can hear that and begin to tingle with excitement as we turn God's forgiveness into a license to sin. Or we cheapen God's grace by not seeing the seriousness of sin, and instead we continue to embrace sin itself. When we act in this way, then we are going against the next thing that Paul condemns when he says their stomach is their God. And when Paul is saying their stomach is their God, he's not necessarily talking about our physical stomachs and how it's hungry for food. But back in Paul's day, the people viewed the stomach as the source of all emotions and desires and pleasures. We even still talk that way among ourselves when we say, well, my gut is making me feel this way. And so these people were living their lives according to what their desires and wants wanted. Can our stomachs become our God? We are not to love the things of this world. We're not to love them more than God Himself. And yet our pleasures and our desires and our wants can get the best of us. Many times we can say, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't say this. I shouldn't think this. But I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it because everyone else is doing it. I'm going to do it because I want to do it. I'm going to do it because I know it will make me happier in my life. When we act in this way, we go against the next thing that Paul condemns when he says their glory is in their shame. These people knew that what they were doing was wrong. These people knew that what they were doing was shameful. But instead of admitting that it was shameful, they dulled their consciences to accept what they were doing and to receive glory and praise. Can our glory be found in our shame? Remember back to the sins of your youth, that as you have grown up and have matured, you look back on those things and you're not proud of them. You're ashamed of them. But when you hang out and talk to the friends of your youth and you go back through these memories, instead of feeling shame, you begin to laugh and rejoice in those shameful things. Or maybe there are sins that you have done in the past that used to bring you shame, but now you have dulled your conscience. Your conscience has become so callous that you no longer find shame in doing those things. Or maybe you go to your friends and your co-workers and you brag and boast of these shameful things with the sole purpose to receive glory upon yourself for what you have done. And when we act in this way, we go against the next thing that Paul condemns. Their mind is on earthly things. Truthfully reflect on your life and ask yourself this question: where does God place in my life? I know you and I can say that our mind is not set on earthly things. But how often does money, our family, our friends, our own desires rank higher than God in our lives? Which brings us to the next thing that Paul says. Their destiny is destruction. Jesus tells us that we are to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, but that can be the last thing that we seek. Jesus tells us, what good is it if you gain the whole world and yet forfeit your soul? And yet, instead of listening to this warning from Jesus, we put our souls in spiritual jeopardy by having our minds set on the things of this world. And therefore, our destiny is meant to be destruction and condemnation by God. But listen again to what Paul said to us. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Our citizenship is in heaven. Heaven is our home. Our destiny is not destruction, but our destiny is eternal life in heaven. But how can that be? Well, it's not because we have earned or deserve this citizenship in heaven. It's not even because we were born into this citizenship in heaven. Because by nature we are born dead in our sins. But it is God who has chosen us. It is God who has adopted us as His sons and daughters. And if we are His sons and daughters, then we are heirs and citizens of heaven. And what validates God's choice and adoption for us is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He did not live as an enemy of the cross, but He embraced and rejoiced in the cross to suffer and die for our sins. His stomach, His desires, His wants, His pleasures were not for Himself, but they were for His God. He never committed anything that was shameful. His mind was not set on earthly things, but His mind was set on the things of God and what God wanted. And ultimately, His destiny was our destruction, so that by His destruction, our destiny is eternal life. And God's stamp of approval on our citizenship papers of heaven was raising Christ from the dead for our justification. Because of Him and through faith in Him, we have full citizenship of heaven and the full privileges of that citizenship. Salvation is ours. Forgiveness is ours. New life in Christ is ours. And that is one reason to be spiritual hoarders, because as we hoard onto Christ and everything about Him, we have His forgiveness and the promise of eternal life. Another reason to be spiritual hoarders and to hoard onto Christ and everything about Him is because Christ, by His power, enables everything under His control. And certainly this applies to how God rules over all things and He keeps everything in control for us. But this also applies to us personally in our lives. by ourselves, we are powerless against the evils of this world, the devil, and our sinful nature. That is why so often our minds can be set on earthly things. But Christ, by His power, changes us to be spiritual hoarders. That even though we struggle in weakness, He moves us to turn to Him. To turn to Him for forgiveness, to turn to Him for strength and help, to turn to Him for comfort. And although the devil will constantly accuse us of our sins before God, and although our own consciences will wear us down with guilt because of the shameful things that we have done, Christ, by His power, assures us of our citizenship in heaven. Because what saves us is not how strong we are, but what saves us is how strong He was who used His power to save us. And therefore, we are to be spiritual hoarders, hoarded unto Christ and everything about Him, because He uses His power to rule and to help us in our lives. And one more reason that we are to be spiritual hoarders, hoarding onto Christ and everything about Him, is because one day when He returns, He will use His power to transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body. Our bodies are lowly because it is infected with sin. But when Jesus returns one day, that will all change. On that day, we will no longer act like enemies of the cross of Christ, but we will embrace and truly appreciate everything that Christ did on the cross for our sins. On that day, our stomach and our desires and our wants will no longer be our God. But our God will be the true God who saved us from our sins. On that day, we will no longer find glory in our shame, but rather our glory will be in the glory of Christ shining in us as He removes the sinful nature from us. On that day, our minds will no longer be set on earthly things, but rather our minds will be set on the glories and the treasures of heaven. And on that day, our destiny will not be destruction, but our destiny will be eternal life with our Savior. Here we see every reason to be spiritual hoarders of Christ, and therefore let us follow the example that Paul has given to us. Let us not live like the people of this world and to hoard on to the things of this world, but rather let us live like citizens of heaven as we hoard on to Christ and everything about Him. For He is our Savior, for He uses His power to rule our lives, and for He will transform our bodies to be like His glorious body. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.